Hello, everyone. This is Nataline coming to you from the moon. I'm here at Strawberry Moon Energetics, our first podcast. It's a little experimentation of a sacred donut. Let's begin with a blessing. God, Goddess, all that is. Hello, everyone. This is Nataline from Strawberry Moon. I'm here on the moon today with some of my cohorts, my friends, my sisters. We have some special guests here today. With me at the table is my producer, Teresa, who you've all sort of met before along the way in this journey. I also have with me two very special guests, very special people in my life. One of them is my cousin. She is my first cousin on my father's side. Her name is Mariah Cruz Nano. Say hello, Mariah.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome. She is a cousin, raised little sister. She's been, what she says, walking with me since she was born. I can't shake her. She's always been there. I really don't remember life without her. So Mariah's here today. And Rebecca is my right hand, Rebecca Lynhurst Ballast. Her name is difficult for me to pronounce. I call her Bex. It's much easier. But Rebecca is here, and she is the right hand of Strawberry Moon. She helps me with everything. Both of them here today, or all three of them, are healers in their own right. And we've come together today at this podcast, for this podcast, The Sacred Donut, to talk a little bit, well, about a couple of things. We want to have them share some of their experiences at Strawberry Moon, how the teachings here have worked in their life or helped them in their lives. Also just to talk a little bit about themselves and the work they do, and just to take this journey with us here today. I wanted to bring a little fresh breath to the podcast. I don't want y'all getting sick of me every episode, just me talking. So how are you all doing? Rebecca, say hello.
Hello.
So tell me a little bit about, we'll start with Mariah. Tell me a little bit about your journey since this all began on the moon, the teachings, how you started, what's been going on in your life since.
So like Nataline said, I consider myself walking with her since birth. I pretty much would follow her anywhere. Into a volcano, off a cliff, you name it. Thankfully, she's led me down a good path instead of the wrong way. I would say that since coming to Strawberry Moon, I've probably become a better person. I feel like I have more love. I maybe like let my light out now. I think it's helped me find my way and maybe heal a lot of things that I tried to keep in for many years. I don't think I would be as good of a mom as I am without it, or even just a human being. I think that I've found how to show love and not be so hard or like tough all the time.
Yeah, Mariah definitely carries a tough exterior, and she can be a little you know, on this side of our family, we can be a little bit short-tempered, impatient, a little rigid. So it's definitely softened you in many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it taught me compassion, but it definitely, being here has showed me to express my compassion and show it instead of always having to have a wall and be like, I'm too tough to show that weakness, which it's not a weakness, but I think maybe I thought it was being weak to like show my soft side.
Right, right.
But
what part of, like, tell me about your journey as far as, like, how did you start? What did you start with? You were a part of Kapuli. You were part of other classes.
Yeah, I think it started first with the 2012 class, maybe.
Oh, yeah. So you were here for the opening of the...
Yeah, and then, like, the first tea times. I think one of the first ones was like me, you, and maybe one other person.
So just to give you some idea, the Strawberry Moon, we opened the altar for Strawberry Moon in 2020. Before that, I had been working out of my home for a couple of years. But we opened the altar on 2012, we opened the portal on December 21st. So we opened, we activated the altar here when the cosmic portals were opening. And so you were here for that. So that was the very beginning. And then, and just so the listeners know, Kapuli, when we talk about Kapuli, it's an apprenticeship. It's a 4-year apprenticeship that we have here, in shamanic teachings, curandissimo, healing modalities, learning to heal the self, that sort of thing. So just so that when y'all talk about Kapuli, they understand what you're talking about. So, then tea time, we had tea time. Tea time's on hiatus right now, but we once had a monthly gathering called Tea Time on the Moon, and that was a community night where we just opened the space and we would do different teachings or ceremonies and things like that. And so you were pretty, I think you attended probably 90% of them.
Yeah, I think I would miss one a year, and that was in December.
Yeah, for your kids' orchestra or whatever, yeah. Christmas thing. So tell me what about the teachings and stuff did, what exactly helped you? Like, what was it?
The Women Warrior classes definitely helped me heal, like, old wounds and learn to love myself and be a better woman, just in the sense of, like, it taught me how to come together with women from different walks of life and to appreciate everybody's story and where they come from. It kind of taught me to not be so judgmental. I could be very, like, look at somebody and have my opinion right away. I've definitely learned to, like, you don't know what people are going through. And so sitting in class with, 12 to 20-some women who come from different lives, for 12 hours and you're going deep into deep processes, I think I learned, like, everybody has had their battles and their stories. And it's made me softer towards women in general, I think.
Right. So the Warrior Women classes are Calling All Warrior Women, and we gather. We do usually a all-day workshop, which are usually 12-hour classes. They're very intense. 12 hours is, 12 hours in one space with, like she said, 12 to 20-some women. Sometimes we've had 40, I think, at one time, really in a vulnerable place, right? We're in process. So when I say process, some of you that have listened to earlier episodes, when we do the prayer, the meditation piece at the end of the podcast, that's a process where we're taking you into a state where you can, receive healing and that sort of thing. So 12 hours of that with a room full of women after we've had many conversations, after people have, been vulnerable and told their stories, definitely can bring you to a place of at least deeper understanding, right? Understanding that, oh, wow, I shouldn't judge this person by the way they look. I should be able to see beyond that, because now that I know their story, I actually can relate to them. So that is when we're talking about, race, class, we can often put people in categories and say, oh, I have nothing in common with that person. When you sit down in a circle like that and you find out, oh, well, they have relationship problems, they're having problems with their kids, or they're having, they have drug addictions or alcoholism or, body image issues, or you name it, right? So every Calling All Warrior Women classes we've done has a theme to it. And so within that theme, we work around whatever that theme of the day is. But in that, we always see the participants have what we call our sisters have a profound experience just in the day of spending together, right? So I always say that I want to be the kind of woman, and it took me a long time in my life because I always saw myself as like a guy's girl. Like, I like to hang out with the guys. The girls always were too much drama for me. It always felt a little petty, especially when you're talking like,
you know, elementary school and junior high. I wanted to hang out with the guys. They just, all my friends in high school, my closest friends were usually guys. And so when I realized part of my mission was to work with women and to really help women to understand the masculine in many ways, I realized that part of my experience with the masculine was to help women then work in, you know, have a better understanding of men or the masculine energy. And so, when, you know, so anytime I've done these classes, I've always had the intention of really wanting women to be what I feel is important is I want another woman to know she can trust me with her children, her partner, and her money, right? I won't take women down a path just to take their money. I won't feed them a bunch of stuff. Oh, you need these classes or you need this to empower yourself just to take their money. I definitely, if I work with their children, I want them to know that I, you know, when I work with children, I leave the door open so that they can, you know, peek in at any point. I want you to feel like I can leave my children with her and they're in the safest place. And same with a spouse. Many people will send their spouse to me and I want them to know that this is a safe place. Like I, no matter what the spouse might do, that they know I have their back as a woman. Something I think you both, Rebecca and Mariah, we've talked about is, you know, that even if you don't like one of the sisters in the community, right? If we have a community ceremony or we have a class and you're like, that person rubs me kind of the wrong way. I don't vibe good with them, but there's still a level of respect, right? And so would you say that those sort of teachings have helped you in that way? Just have that mindset of no matter what, like this is a fellow sister. This is like another woman who is bearing the same kind of burdens, responsibilities, issues that I am.
Yeah, definitely. It's taught me to be mindful of maybe even what I might say about them to other people. Like I wouldn't speak on them. And show them respect. And I want them to feel also like if we are in a group setting and they're breaking down and showing their worst moments, you know, sharing their worst stories, that I'm not going to turn around and say something to somebody else, you know what I mean? Or even if there's a community connection, like maybe somebody that doesn't come here, but we might know mutual people, I don't want them to ever think that I'm like gossiping about yes. their deepest, darkest secrets here. You know, I've like, this is a sacred place.
Yes.
No matter if we're besties or not.
Yes. Kind of thing. And so one thing at Strawberry Moon, we really pay a lot of mindfulness to or put a lot of focus on is that we talk about creating sacred space. So when I call in, you know, before a process or before a blessing, we call in sacred space, right? We do an invocation, we call in the energies. It's the same when we are in this space with women for healing, for ceremonies, we call in sacred space. And not even, I mean, I don't want that to be like, oh, it was outside of sacred space, so we can talk, we can gossip about them outside of sacred space. The emphasis here is that in sacred space, we hold that intention of knowing I heard this woman's story in a very vulnerable, sacred place, and I, in that sacredness, will not repeat it outside of the circle. Whoever was in the room at the time, that's one thing, you know, and if she wants to talk about it, but outside of that space, we don't leave here, even to our partners, right? We don't leave here and say, you know, guess what happened, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so. My partner sometimes, you know, he's learned over the years, he'll ask, like, how was this session or how was your class? And I just say, fine, it went good. Or, you know, the women did a lot of good work. I never go into specifics even, and he's open to listen to all the stories. So I have to say, you know, no, like I can't say, even if you don't know them, I can't say because it is a sacred, it was a sacred conversation. And here at Strawberry Moon, what we call the sacred conversation is the plática, right? It is a very sacred conversation. So when we are having issues with somebody here, if another sister and you are having conflict, then we say, I need a plática, meaning I'm about to vent about this person, but I don't want it to be in gossip. And we all know sometimes we Like Rebecca and I have to have conversations about certain situations that happen in class. We have to really gauge, right, Rebecca, where it is the conversation about the situation, you know, what the person was doing or how they behaved or something, and not take it into a state of gossip. It can, it's a very slippery slope. And so I really love what has transpired here on the moon over the years, because I see it in the women. It's not something I have to like remind people of. Like, I see it over the years, women just taking care of each other in such a beautiful way. Every year we have a Strawberry Moon Woman Ceremony, and I think that really is the pinnacle of what the women here represent, right? Would you both agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the ceremony and we get an average of 80 to 100 women, and they all come dressed very beautifully in their, you know, goddess sort of outfits, you know, skirts and frilly pretty shawls and flowers and jewels and all very, very ceremoniously. You will learn over time. I make up my own words. And so we have the ceremony so women can heal. And in the ceremony, they go in front of the fire and show themselves in the most vulnerable way, right? And women are circled around them just in support. I had a woman come once, and she really had she was in a great place in her life. And she said, I have so many blessings. She said, I come because I just love the ceremony, but I have so many blessings. And she said, to sit there and watch the women really pour their hearts out, really be in such a wounded place, she said, I felt like my whole job was just to hold that space for them and support them. And that's what we're talking about, right? So, Rebecca, tell me a little bit about your journey here and how you got here and what it's been like.
How I got here. So we kind of use my graduation from college as like my time marker, because that's either before or after, right? So I graduated in 2014. When I was in college, I had studied Chicano studies and integrated therapeutic practices, and so I had already started to be interested in how my culture and tradition and healing kind of blended together. And I had two sisters who were like, hey, have you heard of Nataline? You want to go to her, was it One Love or something
probably,
like that? Where her very first Kapuli group would have this like community-based donation healing clinic. And I came, and I remember coming the first two or three times, and I didn't get anything done. I just came and sat in the outside waiting room. I did. We would come kind of late. There wasn't always a lot of helpers here to do the healing. And so they would, my two like partner girls would be so excited that they would like jump for it first. And I was always kind of like hanging back, unsure of what we were doing and why I was here. And so then I started coming to the tea times every month, like really hearing and honoring like the words. Like, it meant so much to me, like this idea of showing up on time somewhere, and what does on time mean, and like honoring and respecting that space that everybody else from the community was there for this like message, this time, this healing. And so I then took, I think the next step from that was I took an all day class. I'm not sure if it was a Masters of Ascension or a Calling All Women's Warriors, but I remember Mariah and Amy Jo and a couple of other gals were here that are still in community that I've had these like long lasting relationships with, right? Because it's 2020 and this was what, 2014, 15. And reflecting back, like my partner and I reflected back so much of each other as we were in this healing work. And it was meeting somebody I had never met before and going into this healing space and being vulnerable with somebody who was like, literally feeling and going through something that I felt like I was going through or had gone through, and where I felt like I was the only person, right? But I wasn't. And so from there, I did the 4-year apprenticeship program. And then I also did some other healing work with some other teachers with Nataline. And so
I've been to all of Kapuli, my class, and then I started kind of helping and showing up for the next two groups that have come through. So I was thinking about it the other day, and like, if you think about the very first teaching that you do in your Kapuli group, I have now done that class, that experience process, 5 times. And I think that every time I still get something out of it. There's still something where I was like, huh, well, either I didn't catch that, or
I didn't say it.
You didn't say it, or an onion layer has been removed and I'm hearing it in a completely different, frame of being, because I am evolving and changing and growing. But I remember that first like healing was like healing to speak my own words and like speak for myself and not be like timid or scared of what I was going to say and just really speak. And that has been like the most powerful like takeaway from everything that I have done, is that like my words are sacred and they have meaning and they have power, and there's nobody stopping me from speaking them. So speak. And
yeah. It's amazing. As you're talking, I'm thinking like, it shows how far you've come, because I honestly do not remember you even being at the One Love, right? So it's like how you hid yourself in such a way that like I didn't even see you, and the room wasn't even that full. But how amazing that now like you're seen around here as like everybody knows who you are, because you help me so much and you do so much around here and you've been a part of the community for so long. So that's really beautiful to see. I really feel that is the biggest takeaway for women, is the confidence has to be, I hope that women come here, and if they get anything, even if they're like, don't really get into the woo-woo stuff or any, but they have some kind of inner empowerment where they start to realize, I have worth. I have worth in my voice. I have worth in my actions. I am sacred. I am something special. And I'm not the only one that has problems. I'm not the only one that is suffering, you know, even though you think you're doing it alone, like there's a reason that they, we'll just put quotations around, they have kept women apart for thousands of years. Because when women gather, right, this was all the witch hangings and all the whatever, when women gather, I mean, even in the church, right, they kept women out of the higher positions in the church, because women together are incredible, creative, I mean, magical creatures that can do immense. I mean, if we filled all the offices, you know, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, I could say that, all the important positions in the world, we could heal this world very quickly. Especially when I, you know, also see in all of you, especially Teresa and Mariah, myself, Rebecca, we have there's a masculine energy in there as well. That really, shout out to all the women that really have also that piece, that they can also kind of push that threshold to say, you know, hey, we can speak our truth, but we have to help the other women. I totally embrace the women that are, you know, I joke that I have to put on jewelry and makeup and things to make myself feel more like a girl. I really have learned from the women here that are more, that have a lot more of the feminine energy, and how they move in a different way. They're softer, they're more gentle, they're slower in their processes, how they move. And that's been huge for me, because I'm rough and tough and move fast. Like, I'm like, come on, let's. And I've had to really sit back and watch and sort of take that in and say, I could do that a little bit more. I could have a little bit more of that. I'm just sitting here thinking about both of you in your journey. And one, I guess I didn't realize how long it's been. But to see that you really both are, you represent how much growth can happen if people come and work, and not just women, but if people come and do the work on themselves, right? And this is something that we have been seeing in conversation lately. And I kind of want to ask you guys, you two, what, when we talk about, let's see, Every time we do ceremony, just for the listeners, every time we do ceremony, we always put an offering in the fire first for who?
Self.
The self, right? And so why do we do that? Because why do we put ourselves first?
Because if we don't take care of ourselves, there's nothing left of us to give to anybody else. We can't support if we're weak or if we're unstable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, you know, Mariah, you have four children. Yes. I have to count on my fingers. When you have four children, it's difficult to put yourself first, correct? And Rebecca has two children.
It took me a long time to realize that I was doing more harm towards them by not healing myself than taking that little bit of time. Because if I'm in a better place mentally, physically, spiritually, then I can be a better mom to them and even just a better person.
Yeah.
To teach them better, you know.
And what did that look like for you? Like putting your, what did that mean? What does that mean to put yourself first?
Even just taking the time to come here for classes and having that time to work on myself. And now, you know, my kids are very well trained. Like if I say I'm going to Natalie's, they know like, okay, mom's going to be gone for the night. Don't bother her. And you know, it wouldn't have been possible without Henry because when I was a single parent, I couldn't have came here. Mm-hmm. So it was grateful that I was able to manifest him. We manifest him to help with that. But I think it's shown my kids too, like, oh, mom needs time. Mom needs a break. Mom needs, you know, her own space, her own friends, her own community.
Yeah.
And then it's taught them, you know, I think especially with my daughter, it's taught her like, oh, because she's very strong-willed since birth.
Yes.
And I think it's taught her like, oh, okay, I can have a community of females too when I get older.
Yeah. And I think that we have to take out the stigma of like the word selfish.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of, you know, we come from generations of mothers that like my mom was like, you could say, you know, a saint in so many ways, but a martyr in a way that was so unhealthy for her, exhausting herself. I mean, the woman literally till this day was still, you know, I'll talk to her and she's like cooking. Oh, I had like a little bit of, you know, spaghetti noodles and whatever. And she's cooking it and taking it to the sun dancers in our community. And I'm like, well, what are you going to eat? She's like, I'll find something. Like she, you know, doesn't ever put herself first, right? She will always give to everyone else. But over the years, it has wore her down. It has caused her immense, you know, health issues. Stress her, you know, you, and it's obvious, you can see it over the years. And I think, man, what my mom could, now that she is sort of putting herself first, I'm like, she still has a ton of life to live. And I can't wait to see what she does with it now that she's finally in a space where she's healing her first, taking care of herself first. I feel that, you know, we talked about this before about, and everybody knows this cliche or this, you know, saying, put the oxygen mask on you first before you can't help people on a crashing plane if you can't breathe. That is such a good metaphor for what is, because we literally cannot help other people if we are depleted, if we're depleted, exhausted. And I think what Mariah, I know Mariah very well, your patience and everything, right? If you're in a more balanced place, you are more patient, you're kinder, you're easier on your kids, you can do more for them, you can go longer in the day, right?
I think back to pre-Strawberry Moon times, and then now, those are like the dark ages for me because it was so miserable. I was in such, even though I had four kids running around constantly wanting and needing, I was alone. Like, I felt so alone that I almost blocked those times out now. And now I look at my life and I'm like, if I could have been this mom then, I could have done better for them maybe, but...
Right, but this is how we learn, right? And I'm so glad that you're, you know... really expressing that, because I think women out there need to know, like, one, you're not alone. please know you're not alone, that other women, you know, especially if your babies are little, especially if you're working, you're overwhelmed, you're single mother, like you're not alone. We have a community here. You can join us even if you're on the other, even if you're in Indonesia or wherever, but just to know in your heart of hearts, like there are other women out there that are also struggling. Yeah. But if I put myself first, we're giving you permission here today, because I think sometimes women need like permission from somebody to say it is okay and that your family will benefit.
Yes.
Right? They will benefit from you giving to yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's important. And then we need to really integrate this, because these are the things that then need to be passed on to our future generations. And not just, you know, we're talking today, we're really focused on the women here today, but we're talking just in general. People in general should be, you know, I admire people who really, you know, I know some people who just always put themselves first no matter what, and to whatever we want to say. But I think why, you know, this is the planet of free will, and you really, there are no rules. We're so brainwashed to believe like, oh, if you put yourself first, you're selfish, you're a bad person. We think that being a rescuer, a caretaker, a nurturer to where our knuckles are bleeding, that that is what we're here to do. And it's like, no, women have so much potential. They're here to create, they're here to nurture and all of that, but they're here to do other things, not just care for people until they're exhausted and they die, right?
Yeah.
So Rebecca, what would you say to all that?
I was just thinking to the before Rebecca and
the dark ages.
Yes, I
love that.
You know, I had two small children. I was in a relationship. I was going to school full time. I was working 40 hours a week full time. You know, and I was like advocating for a school to be opened, and I was classroom parent and head of this and head of that. And I was always tired. My kids were in sports and then we had family activities, and I felt obligated to go to everything and to be on for everything. And I realized that I was so tired that there are so many of those activities that I kind of like just zombied through, right? Because I was always kind of like not fully 100% recharged when I'd show up for work in the morning, and then I would get home from work and I would do mom, you know, dinner and baths and bed. And then I would be like, okay, everybody's going to bed. Now what do I have? What 900 other things do I need to do? And I would do those all night. And so I feel like there was so much obligation, and I was so busy saying yes, 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 and not saying no, even when I really wanted to, mm-hmm. that I never really showed up and like was blissful or happy or like 100% in anything until I learned to say no, mm-hmm. and learned that having 100 things on your to-do list doesn't make you a better person or a better woman or a better anything, right? It just means you're stretched, and there's really no such thing as multitasking.
No.
If you're trying to multitask, you're not paying attention to anything and giving it yours. And I really noticed that, especially when we talk about showing up for our kids, right? I have the same feeling. Like, there's ways that I show up today that I wish I would have showed up for my kids when they were little, right? Like, one of mine is 18, and I'm like, great, now I can do this now. I wish I could have done this when she was 3 or 8 or, you know, 12. Mm-hmm. And so I think, though, that it does teach them that we are evolving people and that we continue to grow and to be like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I really didn't know what I was doing, and all I can do is try to do better, mm-hmm. and hope that they can understand that nobody's expecting them to know everything either, and that they have room to grow.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think sometimes I think adults in general, you know, pretend that they know what they're doing. And, you know, I tell young people when I work with them, like, just so you know, I'm going to give you a little clue. Like, most adults don't know what they're doing. So, like, when we really can be honest with each other, you know, I think this is what happens often in the classes and stuff that is profound, is other women start to realize, like, oh, I'm not the only one that's not only overwhelmed, exhausted, and whatever, but I don't know what I'm doing. These kids didn't come with a, you know, a manual. My, you know, my relationship with my spouse didn't come with a manual. My, you know, the life didn't come with the manual. This is how you run, you know, a full-time job, a full-time household, a full-time friendship, a full-time whatever in a 24-hour period, and you need to eat, you know, sleep 8 hours or whatever, and eat three meals a day, right? How many women go without food all day because they just can't even make the time? And that's where I say I feel it's so important when women understand energy, when we take a time out. When you take a time out, when you breathe, when you eat something nutritious, when you sit down. I had some curanderos in my house once, which are healers, indigenous healers from Mexico. And I was eating and doing something in my kitchen, something else. And I was standing up eating, and then I would do something else. And one of the women sat me down, and she said, that is a very bad habit. And you need to sit down. You're not at all connecting with your food. And I'm like, I don't. This is how I eat all the time. I take a couple bites, right? I have half a sandwich sitting over there. I take a couple bites, and then I do something else. That's just how I've been for I don't know how long. I think since I left my parents' house, because my dad always had to sit at the table. And ever since then, I stopped. But it's energy, right? When we take the moment, if you take 10 minutes to, you know, lock yourself in the bathroom, catch your breath, you know, do some deep breathing, drink some water, eat something, not in the bathroom, but do something for yourself, even in a few minutes, then you can walk outside and face your kids, right? Face your family, do what you have to do. But when we come in frazzled, when we come in, I have somebody that sees me, and she said she always parks down the street before she goes home. She parks down the street. She opens her windows. She takes, you know, a few songs on the radio. She sings. She hangs out. She watches the moon or whatever. She just totally decompresses and kind of evaluates her day and gets into a place, because she said if not, for years, she'd get to the door and she'd be yelling at them within 5 minutes. Let me see. I'm looking at Mariah and we're laughing. She's pointing at herself, but I'm also thinking of your mom. So Mariah's mom is my aunt. We love you, Auntie Danette. She's my second mother, but God love her. But she was notorious for, like, walking in the door from work and yelling at us, like, as soon as she opened the door, you know, like, nobody cleaned the kitchen. Nobody did this. Have you been watching TV all day? And we literally could have just turned the TV on, right? But she was coming from her busy on her feet all day, coming to a house full of kids and all, having to prepare dinner, having to, you know, we were kids. And so we get it now. I totally get it now. But we want you all, whoever's listening, to really come to the place of knowing that take, whether it's 5 minutes here and there, take a day for yourself if you can. It's possible. And I hear people say, no, I can't do it. I don't have time, or I don't have help with the kids. You know, there is ways. You can negotiate with a friend to trade. Like, you watch my kids today, I go do my thing, I'll watch your kids next month, you do your thing. Like, create a sisterhood, a partnership, someone that has your back that can help you find that time so that you can show up as a better partner, mother, friend. I mean, even if you don't have kids or a husband or partner of any kind, you know, your friendships also, I mean, my friends, God love them. Some of my best friends see me the least, you know. I thank God that they understand me well and have really over the years not taken offense that, like, you know, I have this mission that I'm on, and sometimes I don't feed those relationships like I should. But I love them, and I appreciate that I can just pick up the phone. And so that's something we've talked about before in, you know, when we talk about, you know, women and friendships and things like that. Like, have that understanding with your friends as well. Like if they don't return your phone call, if they get busy, I hear women sometimes say like, oh, you know, she's so wrapped up in her kids or her partner or whatever. And it's like, you don't know, you could be her best friend and not know exactly what she's dealing. Maybe her partner is struggling. Maybe she's, you know, she's got other issues with her kids, right? Her job or whatever. And she just, but she's hoping that when she does call you, you don't reject her. Right. We've had conversations about those things in class. And I was also thinking about I'll tell you all. Can I tell a story about so around here, I'm looking at Rebecca. Around here, we say, you know, one thing I think has really helped women over the years and anybody. But again, today we're really focused on the women. I always say you need to learn how to say that doesn't work for me. A simple, how many words is that? That doesn't work for me. 5 words. So all of you listening out there, if you learn these 5 words, 6 words, Tio's telling me, Teresa's telling me 6. That doesn't work for me. No, that's 5. That doesn't work for me.
That's one of them's a contraction.
Okay. Engineer brain at your at the moon. So however many words it is, learn how to say that doesn't work for me.
That doesn't work for me.
So Rebecca, I'm laughing at Rebecca because Rebecca, you know, was coming here and like I said earlier, like was this quiet, shy, didn't really put herself, you know, I didn't even know she was here. Over the years has learned to say that doesn't work for me. So one night she was here on the moon helping me and we had finished a class and she had made it clear to me at one point that like she was didn't do dishes, right? It was when we had some agreement about, you know, one of those cleaning things, like because she does a lot of admin stuff. And so I know like she doesn't, you know, do the dishes. And so we I had a truck full of stuff. I have a truck and the back of the truck was full of, I don't know, boxes. Somebody donated, I think, a bunch of donations or something. And so I had told myself before class, get some of the people that are at the class to help, you know, within 2 minutes, we could have it all unloaded with 10 people. And so I completely forgot. So we're leaving the moon. We're walking out, locking up, and we walk out, and I'm like, oh, man, I didn't unload all of that stuff. And I'm thinking, I don't want to leave it on the back of my truck overnight because, you know, it might disappear, and it's really good stuff that we were donating to, you know, people that needed it. And so I kind of look at Rebecca, and she's like, that doesn't work for me. And I was like, okay. And I laughed to myself because I'm like, oh my God, what did we create here? This woman is like, sorry, but I don't do heavy lifting. So I unloaded the truck while she watched me.
I kept company.
She kept me company. She had something to say every time I walked out the door. And, but we laughed. But I laughed because I couldn't take it personal. I couldn't say, oh, my God, Rebecca wouldn't even help me. She saw me lifting all that stuff. She didn't want to do it. Right? And there was no previous agreement that that was part of the work she does here. And so this is what we're talking about. We joke about it, but how liberating, Rebecca, was it for you to be able to just say, like, that doesn't work for me?
Good. It was very liberating. I was like, I'm down to help you in a whole bunch of other ways, but, like, really moving that stuff off the back of her truck did not even sound, like, fun at 11:30 at night or whatever time it was. I was like,
no, not doing
it. Nope, and that doesn't work for me. See, you taught me that. So. I know.
And so I want you all to really think about those words. It can liberate and free you in a way that will change your life. Women have a tendency to explain themselves. If they say no to somebody, they then have to explain why. You know, if your friend, I always use this because nobody likes to help anybody move. So if your friend calls you and says, I'm moving on Saturday, I would like your help. Look, if you do not want to help them, all you have to say is that doesn't work for me. Okay. Now, I am a person that fully believes I want you to really understand this. I'm all about helping community, helping your family, you know, pitch in. Like we, you know, the background I have, the people I come from, we take care of each other. However, sometimes, like, if you work a full-time job, and this is just an example. We don't even have to give you that excuse. You could not work and still not want to help them move on Saturday. But if Saturday morning you're not feeling it, you know. Now, if you gave them your word that you were going to be there, I do advocate for holding your word. However, instead of coming up with 100 excuses and lying to your friend, which is, you know, I mean, you can. I always say you can lie all you want. But if you really want to be in that space of integrity and balance, all you have to say is that doesn't work for me. I can send pizza. I can help you paint the room when you move in. Find something else that they may need. I can babysit your kids while you unpack for the day. Find another if you want. Again, right? We're not obligated to do these things. Especially, you know, so I have certain rules. I always kind of play like the feeling. How do I feel in my body? Does this feel like bliss? Does helping my friend move feel like bliss? No. Why? Well, this particular friend won't be packed when I get there. And I move fast. So if you're not packed and I'm there to move you, I'm going to be a little ticked off. If you're calling me to come help you pack, well, you better be ready to pack because we're going to do that fast as well. But If it is a day where I'm like, gee, I haven't spent any time with my friend, and I know she's going to be totally unorganized, and I know, but it'll be a day with her, then I'm just going to go. Did you want to say something? Then I'm just going to go and be there totally in the knowing. I'm not going to get out of there at any decent hour. It's going to be unorganized. It's going to be chaotic. But I miss her and I want to spend time with her. And I'm going because of that energy, not out of obligation, not out of guilt. And I'm not going to give a bunch of excuses like, oh, I got COVID, I can't come, right? Now that everybody has that excuse. Now you can say I was exposed and can't go anywhere for 2 weeks, right? So I really want you to be in a state of understanding that it's so easy for women to overextend themselves because they don't know how to say no. And they think they have to please everybody. And it's so easy to just say, that doesn't work for me. And you don't have to explain. People will want an explanation. You don't have to give one. You just say, it doesn't work for me. And give them, you can give another option or whatever, right?
I think, so this exact scenario has actually happened to me as well. Probably around the exact same time as I learned that that doesn't work for me. But my friend was also in that class or session or whatever that asked for help. And it was like, you know, I'll bring you coffee in the morning and then that way you can start out the day. And just having that agreement and showing up with the coffee and her being like, oh, coffee is here, like so excited. And then when her other helper was like, why isn't Rebecca staying to help? And she's like, oh no, that wasn't our agreement.
Yes.
And it was just like that. We were done.
Yes.
She brought the coffee. That was our agreement. I'll see you later. Do you want to take some plants? Which, by the way, I did take. Yes. And I still have.
Yes. And your friendship is still intact, right? Mm-hmm. You don't, because people will be more upset when they find out you made a whole bunch of excuses, right? You're like, oh, I'm homesick or I can't, you know, we had a death or whatever. And then they run to, you know, the store for moving tape and they bump into you and they're like, you lied to me. Right. And this is where I really want women. Excuse me. I bumped the table. I really want women to be in that space of just being able to say, I'm a grown ass woman and I don't have to explain myself to anybody. Right. Your spousal partnerships, that's your agreement between you and your spouses. However that looks, you know, you don't even have to explain yourself to them if that's what the agreement is. But agreement is such a good word, right? We make agreements all the time. If people hold to their agreement, things can go a lot smoother. If you communicate why you can't hold to your agreement, that also keeps things smooth, right? Just be honest and say, you know, I can't hold to my agreement. You don't even have to explain why. That, again, is saying, oh, it doesn't work for me now. I know I made an agreement to be there, but I'm sending my, you know, 16-year-old nephew who's strong and virile and can do it better, right, instead of me doing it. So these are the little things that I think women on the moon have learned that I would say is really simple things that can change your life in so many ways, right? Right. Anybody want to add anything else? Teresa, do you?
No, I really don't have anything since I don't have a mic. So. Oh.
I hope we can. You can hear her. I would say let's end here. Then we'll do a process for the women, for our beautiful sisters out there. Before we close, I just want to say, when I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all of the women on this planet, right? We generationally, women have been mistreated, have been abused, have been, for thousands of years, right? Earth has been hard on the women, I think. And so I want to, as we go into process, I want you all to focus on the women in your life, your whether they're your biological relatives, your sisters, your cousins, your mothers, your grandmothers, even if those relationships may be strained in some way. I want you also, as you close your eyes, as we go into process, to think about women all over the world. Like, imagine as you're listening to this right now, somebody in, the United Emirates is listening, right? Somebody in Peru is listening. Somebody in, when I look at the list of who's downloaded the podcast, I don't even know some of these places. It's been so interesting. I'm like, I've never even heard of that place. So I want you to think energetically, if all the women who listen to this think about all the other women, the energy, the vibrational frequency, I want you to go into love and compassion and sisterhood and really imagine the earth lighting up with all the women. And all the young girls, the little tiny, when we do ceremony here and we have these little itty bitty girls with their flowers and they just love every minute of it. Think about them as you go into this process. Like as I'm looking now, I'm like seeing the earth just lighting up all over the world of just women just energetically thinking about. So if one person in Colorado thinks about all the women around the world, how energetically that spark is going to amplify around the world. And we so need it right now. We need it not just as women. We need the women to be well because we're in such a critical time on this planet. The Mother Earth is feminine. She is the mother. She needs the women to connect with her. She needs the women to remember how to grow the plants, remember how to walk upon her with their bare feet. We do ceremonies around here and we always ask the women to wear long skirts. This isn't just to cover you up. Because especially when we have all women ceremony, there's no need for that. However, we ask that you wear long skirts because the length of the skirt, the longer the skirt, it touches the ground. It resonates with the energy of the earth. It's a way to connect with the earth. And so when, you think about, this, as you go into this process, when you think about these women all over the world, how we can activate that and connect with the earth and how that can plant just the hope that we need, because we're in such a time of crisis all over the world. It's not just here, it's everywhere. We need to take care of the earth. We need to take care of each other. We need to really teach our children, help them to remember. I always say that we are, the work I do here, Mariah and Rebecca both know the healing work they do. We are not the healers. We are not the teachers. We are vessels and we are guides and we are here to help you remember the magical, mystical aspects of you. Women create life in so many ways, whether they bear children or not. Women bring an energy that is profound. It's intuitive. It's emotional, right? It's the water. And so I want you to imagine yourself connecting with women from all over the world as we go into this process, okay? Okay, take a couple of nice deep breaths. God, Goddess, all that is, Pachamama antepasados, winged beings. All of our souls counsel, our teachers, our guides, our angels. I call upon our grandmothers, the grandmothers that have walked before us, the grandmothers that will walk after us, the grandmothers that created us, that molded the masa, the clay, the physical matter of who we are. I ask today for your blessings. I ask to create sacred space. I ask to activate a golden light around every listener, every woman on this planet of every age. I ask to honor the elder women who carry the wisdom, the knowledge. I ask that every person listening acknowledge their elders, their mothers, their grandmothers, their aunties, their elder cousins, their elder friends, co-workers. As they carry the great wisdom, listen to them, care for them, admire them, take care of them. I ask to balance the divine feminine within you. I ask to connect you to the heart of the divine feminine, the creative force of the feminine. I ask for the energy of the earth to rise up from your feet if your feet are on the ground. If you are laying down, I ask that the energy move up through your spine, that the earth embrace you, connect with you. I ask that as the women step upon the earth from this day forward, the ground beneath them resonate. Vibrate at the highest frequencies, that all the trees and the animals and the birds and all the living creatures feel the power of the feminine, the power of the women that walk upon the earth. I ask to clear whatever is blocking you from being in your full potential. I ask to clear any doubts, any lack when it comes to your confidence, to your inner knowing. I ask for the magical, mystical, divine feminine aspects within you to rise. I ask that you step out of your shell, that you find the warrior woman within you, that you begin to walk with power and strength. I ask that you stand tall in the knowing that you are invincible, that you have a potential to create life in any form. I ask to clear and heal the burdens from your heart. I ask for you to reclaim all of the fragmented pieces of your soul, your spirit. I ask for the return of your power. I ask that today you begin to reclaim the power within you, that you find your voice, that you speak your needs, that you speak your truth with love and compassion, that you follow your intuition, as it is the guidepost for women. I ask that you be blessed in all four manifestations, the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. I ask that all your needs are met. I ask that your heart is filled with the resonance of unconditional love, the highest frequencies of source, the all that is. I ask that you begin from this day forward to follow your bliss, to move from the inner knowing, the magical, mystical, divine source within you. I ask to soften you where you are rigid, to strengthen you where you are weak. I ask to clear your mind of worry and to remember that the warrior has no problems, only challenges, tests. And you are capable, able to withstand, to pass any test, to thrive, to evolve. I ask today for the warrior woman, no matter your age, to integrate into your being, to strengthen and straighten your spine, and to know you are not alone, that every woman on this planet is your friend, is your sister, and we support you. Bantio Shahau, Bantio Shakwa, Ometeo, amen, so it is. And I will say, thank you to my guests, Rebecca and Mariah, and to my producer, the beautiful and talented Teresa, who sometimes I slip and call her by her nickname. Please forgive me. I hope you all have a great night and enjoy the continued experimentation of this journey of the Sacred Donut. Bantio Shahau, Bantio Shakwa, Ometeo, amen, so it is. I will leave you in this quiet state. May you have a blessed day, week, month, until we meet again.